Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life, brought to you by Gamer Goo. My name is Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. And man, we got some good stories happening here today. Definitely have a story here in terms of video games that I don't like to have to talk about, but I do feel that I need to, because a lot of people don't realize that this happens in the video game industry. But before we get going here, of course, a little bit of housekeeping here. Don't forget, you can always follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk. That's M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, you can email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. So let's jump into this story here. And if you haven't seen it, I think I talked about it a little bit last week about how I started watching some videos for Cyberpunk 2077. I'm really starting to think that it is a game that I am going to want to jump into. At first, you know, I've been a little bit kind of hesitant. I knew it was going to be such a big game when it came out, and so many people have been talking about it and wanting to get into it. But for me, it was just like, I don't know, there was just something that I wasn't really just like getting into it when I was seeing that trailers were coming out or that they were revealing information. And part of it was I just wasn't following the game, which is kind of crazy to think, like, such a high profile game, I wasn't at least on top of to see what it was all about. But I finally went in. And, you know, I think I talked about how the game, to me, it looks like it's going to kind of fill that space that, like, the Fallout games always did, where, you know, Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 and New Vegas, where it was like this game where you can just go in, kind of escape into, and just live in the world. It looks like a lot like a Bethesda-style RPG. And I say that, you know, not meaning that it mechanically, but just in the fact of how the world is just going to seem alive and there's going to be dialogue choices. And obviously, I mean, that you can kind of put that on any RPG. But the way this game is going to kind of play through with its choices, I think, is really what was really starting to kind of hit with me. But we did get a new story from Jason Schreier over on Bloomberg.com. Of course, Jason Schreier, the video game journalist who used to be at Kotaku, he now works for Bloomberg. And he just published a story with the title, Cyberpunk 2077 Publisher Orders 6-Day Weeks Ahead of Game Debut. So supposedly he was contacted by somebody who works at CD Projekt Red, the developer of Cyberpunk 2077. And they showed him an email where essentially they were told by the studio head, Adam Badowski, saying that essentially exactly what the headline says, that you know, they now have a 6-day week mandatory work week. He says, starting out today, the entire development studio is in overdrive, your typical amount of work in one day of the weekend. He said it is going to be paid, I guess, which is required by Polish labor laws because they are located over in Poland. You know, hey, many other studios don't pay for overtime. But the fact that this is being mandatory now as they push to go gold and kind of push to get the game out in time for its mid-November release kind of sucks, right? I mean, we hear this all the time. I mean, I remember years ago, there was that person who worked for EA, and I think their wife had wrote an open letter to one of the gaming sites just saying how their spouse is always at work, working late hours, unable to see the family. I mean, we've heard things of people having mental breakdowns, not getting the time off, and just the stress that video game development puts on them. You know, it's unfortunate. And I mean, we've already had, what, 2 delays for Cyberpunk? And so I'm sure they're at that point where after those delays, they want to make sure this game gets out. I mean, it really should have been out by this point, right? I think it was April. It might have even been earlier than that. I think that the game was originally supposed to come out. And I know they want the game to be the best that it can be and be bug-free and all of that. But, I mean, you got to think of your people. I mean, CD Projekt Red obviously has kind of become the, I'm not going to say indie darling anymore because I don't really think they're indie anymore. I mean, I think they're a big enough studio that we can kind of move them past indie. But when it comes to like The Witcher 3, the game was a huge, huge commercial success, right? I mean, it made so much money. I mean, it was winning Game of the Year awards all over the place. It still is considered one of the best games of all time. They had a similar situation with that game. And you know, I think that's where the problem is, you know, people forget that. And, you know, regardless of the crunch and the stories of crunch back then, people still bought the game. The game still came out, was critically successful and, you know, financially successful. And so they know, hey, we'll take a hit on the PR side of it for a little bit and then just put the game out and it'll be great. And, you know, you look at that and that really kind of sucks. I mean, we don't really hear about this in other industries. And part of that could be just because maybe we don't hear about it. Maybe people aren't writing about it. But we hear this a lot in the video game industry. And it's something that is really just not right. I mean, I think it's because there's so many people on the teams for video games, maybe, and you know, when it comes to, like, let's say, like, a movie production, sure, you watch the credits of a movie, and there are so many people on that list, right? But each and every one of them has their job and their purpose, and then a lot of times, I think they kind of move on, right? It's not like coding a video game, where when it comes to video games, pretty much everybody's hand that touches it, outside of maybe voice actors, unless they have to go back and revoice, and half the time, you know, they're not usually studio employees. A lot of it is all internal up until that very last day. So it's like you could have, you know, the grip on a movie. Well, he's done, you know, in those final weeks leading up to the movie's launch, or the, you know, the review copy of a movie coming out. He's not still working there. He's moved on to something else. Where here, you're still going to have people working on this video game right up until the end. And I don't know. I don't know what the industry needs to do to change this. I mean, and the sad thing here, too, is it's really kind of going back on what they said. I mean, there was a story, I want to say it was about a year ago, saying we're not going to do this for Cyberpunk 2077. We are not going to have crunch. We're going to have that mentality of working the way you should. And I mean, really, the amount of money that CD Projekt Red made off The Witcher, they could afford it. Like, I would think. I mean, maybe they haven't. Maybe they've kind of run through that money with the amount of people they have working on Cyberpunk. But I don't know. It's just something that it's kind of like the dark side of the video game industry that, you know, we all kind of forget about because we just buy the game, and once the game comes out, all of this is forgotten and thrown out by the wayside, and we just move on and look at the final product and enjoy it. And it's like, you know, I when we see this just happening over and over and over again, you know, we as gamers need to, I think, hold these studios accountable. I don't know what you do in this case. I mean, obviously Cyberpunk is a game that a lot of people want to play. Sure, I mean, there's petitions, I'm sure, already online, and people coming out saying, boycott the game. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen, right? I think what we need to do is just, you know, keep talking about these situations, and, you know, I mean, really, the thing is, I guess, to boycott the game. I mean, it's the only way to really affect the studio is with your wallet, right? But I just don't foresee the gaming industry doing that, and it's just unfortunate. So, I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up here. I mean, I know usually here we're talking about fun, exciting things, but I think it's something that a lot of people don't think about when it comes to video games is this crunch, especially because we just keep seeing it over and over. And you know what? A lot of times, a lot of the stuff that Jason Schreier brings up, I don't want to say I agree with what he's bringing, like with the topic of what he's bringing up, but just some of the tactics that he employees and exposing some things. Sometimes I'm like, really? Like, that seemed like you really shouldn't be exposing that about the company. But, you know, stories like this where it's about kind of the internal workings of a company and them not treating their employees right, keep it coming, Jason. Because, you know, I mean, these are the things, you know, we need a voice like his, right, to do it. Because otherwise, nobody would. Again, people would just play the game and be content with that. So, I don't know, think about that when Cyberpunk gets set to release, and just make sure to keep, you know, maybe let more people know about situations like this, you know, maybe kind of tell them, hey, here's what's going on in video game development. I think it's very interesting thing that just for whatever reason just keeps on going. Let's flip away from video games and talk about some movies here. We had the announcement that The Lion King, that's right, the live action Lion King, I should say, is getting a follow-up. And it's going to be directed by Barry Jenkins. And this is the guy behind Moonlight and If Beale Street Could Talk. Now, if you guys have been listening to the show for a while, you kind of know my take when it comes to these live-action remakes of the Disney movies. I mean, I've kind of been just drumming this idea of, like, why are we doing this? Spend your time making something new rather than this. This is a weird one because there is a Lion King 2. It's an animated movie, but they've come out and said, we're not going to do that with this movie. We're not making Lion King 2, because that was kind of more a straight-to-video movie that was kind of just a funny, tongue-in-cheek movie about the Lion King. Obviously, there's the new Disney show that's out there, I don't even know what it's called, because my kids are older now, but like where it's the Lion King, the Pride show, where it's like Simba's kids, or Simba's kid, you know, it's kind of that. It's not that either. What they're saying with this movie is they're going to possibly look back kind of as Mufasa, like the early years. Here's what it says. It says, sources say the movie will partly focus on the early years of Mufasa. And, of course, who is, you know, Simba's dad, who dies and, you know, had us all crying first time you saw it. I guess that could be cool, right? Maybe. I don't know, you know, if that's something that we need to see. You know, I don't know. Are we bringing back James Earl Jones? I mean, I think he was in the live action remake, right? You know, maybe. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, I hate to say this, I don't know how many years James Earl Jones has. I mean, he is getting up there. So maybe that's the route you go with this. You get him in there so you can make sure you can kind of get that made. But just an interesting thing. You know, I kind of makes me think, like, here I've always said, like, they need to do something new, make something new. Well, they are now, right? They're making something new. They're taking those characters, those beloved characters, and saying, we want to continue a story with them and make some more. Maybe that's cool. Maybe that's neat. But I'm still of the mindset, I think, where, like, to me, The Lion King stands alone and stands the test of time for what it was. I don't think we need to revisit those characters as much as I would want to. To me, that movie just is so perfect. Like, The Lion King, to me, and I may have said this here on the show before, is my favorite Disney movie. Like, it is. I still have not seen the live one because I just don't care to. Like, to me, that original movie, from the music to the story, everything about it is just perfect for me when it comes to Disney movies. It is my favorite. I mean, I still hear, you know, the Circle of Life, and it, like, almost brings tears to my eyes, as silly as that sounds. Like, it just does. Like, I don't know. I mean, and I even think about, like, when I was a kid. I mean, when did it come out? 94? I think that movie came out. I mean, I was, what, 13 years old? And it's, like, at the time, I just saw that movie, and I was like, this is my favorite Disney movie. With all the other movies I had seen as a kid, Disney movies, like, that was the one that just hit it right. And I think it was just because of the writing, and everything about it was just so cool and so good. It just hits you in the feels, man. It's great. So I don't know. I mean, this, I will say I'm more intrigued, I think, by this one than I was of the original live action remake. But hey, whatever, Disney, this is kind of the path that they want to go down. And, well, I'm for it. Don't think we need to do it, but, you know, I'm sure it'll be successful. And now, who knows? Is it saying it's coming to the theaters? I'm trying to see. I don't know if they've announced that yet. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if that ends up being like a Disney Plus. Although I'm sure with the amount of money and the casting that they're going to have, I'm sure they're going to have to put that thing in theaters and make just a little bit more money. Or if anything, do the premium, which they've all already said is only like a one time for Mulan. But who knows? Maybe they'll continue that forward. Let's see, we finally got, and we've been talking about this for a while, Borat 2 is definitely coming. It's launching on October 23rd, and this is cool, exclusively on Amazon Prime. So it's not going to be coming to theaters, and obviously, if you're trying to put this thing out before Election Day, you can't necessarily put it in theaters and expect a lot of people to go see it. Of course, you could put it in theaters, but nowhere near going to get the audience you want it to get. So it is hitting Amazon Prime. This was actually reported over by Collider. But here is the story with this movie, and it's the title. Now, I don't know if I could say this, but I'm going to. It is probably the longest movie title ever made, ever. Like, I don't know if it breaks a record for that, and that might be why they did that. But he's putting it out. Sacha Baron Cohen and team are putting this out before the presidential election. And I think you'll get it once you hear the title if you've not seen this. So here is the title. Borat. Gift of pornographic monkey to Vice Premier Michael Pence to make benefit recently diminished nation of Kazakhstan. Let me say that one more time. Borat. Gift of pornographic monkey to Vice Premier Michael Pence to make benefit recently diminished nation of Kazakhstan. Yeah. That's the title of the movie coming to Amazon Prime on October 23rd. Look, I don't know what's going to be in this movie just from the title alone. Somehow, obviously, it's going to have something to do with Mike Pence. I'm guessing something of Borat wanting to come meet Mike Pence. I don't know why, you know, for whatever reason. Rumors are circulating that he had to wear a bulletproof vest during some of the filming of this. So who knows? And if you've seen like that video of him where he dressed up as that guy at that really right-winged event that was happening where he was talking about Dr. Fauci and he had the whole crowd talking about killing Dr. Fauci. I don't know what this movie is going to have in it, but I got to be honest, pretty excited for it because I'm sure it's just going to be an absolute just mess and just hilarious. So October 23rd, we can get some more Borat and get our laugh on and maybe even just get some sadness as to just kind of the stupidity of some people here in our country. I can't wait, guys. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so funny. We talked about Disney Plus a little bit earlier here with Lion King, and Disney Plus launched a very neat new feature, or is launching a new feature called Group Watch. Now, this is something that I think is available already on Netflix or had been available, and there's been some other services like this before that you can kind of use to kind of use with your services, but it's called Group Watch here in the U.S., and it's going to allow Disney Plus subscribers to invite up to 6 friends and family members to synchronously stream a TV show or movie together from wherever they happen to be when it comes out. So I think that's pretty neat. Now, the only issue here, and that I think a lot of people are kind of jumping on, is there is no way to chat. They're only giving you 6 like little emotes that you can use. So it's like happy, sad, crying, you know, love, all that stuff. So there is no actual chat function yet. But I'm sure at some point with feedback that'll probably come. You know, you could always just at least sync it, hop in Discord, hop in something like that and watch it, you know, which kind of had me thinking, like, is this something that we should maybe utilize here with the podcast? Like, would that be cool to watch, like, you know, Mandalorian, let's say, you know, on those premieres? I mean, I always talk about early Friday mornings getting up, like maybe we could set it up where there's just like, you know, let's sit down and watch the Mandalorian together. I don't know. I got to think about that. I think it might be something kind of neat, but the fact that it's not really utilizing, a text or chat function, like what's really the point then, right? Plus, when it comes to like something like The Mandalorian, I got to be zoned in for that first viewing, right? I got to really be kind of focusing. So, you know, I don't know if I would want to be sitting in a Discord. No offense to everybody else out there, but it's just something that I got to be zoned in and kind of paying attention to everything, which I do watch it with the subtitles on. I don't know if everybody else does that because I need to see those names and those names of places and things like that. But I think it's neat. Hey, I think this is cool. Now, one thing they did say is anything for like a premiere or a premium like the Mulan $30 early access, that person has to own that too. So it's not like one person can buy it and then everybody jumps in and they watch it together. You have to have everybody owning it to be able to watch that content. So, which makes sense. I mean, they got to do that, right? Something they got to do. Let's see, the other story here I want to get to here before we wrap it up is Disney put out the trailer for Marvel's 616, and this was a documentary series I think we talked about, I mean, it seems weeks ago. The series is now officially launching on November 20th. If you remember, this is kind of that series that's going to follow just kind of these, it's 8 episodes, going to kind of follow just different stories from around the Marvel universe. Like one they're talking about, and when I say that, it's not actually like the comic book stories. It's more about like different aspects. So one episode is about the Japanese Spider-Man and kind of just the cultural phenomenon that it had become. And now obviously it's like a modern internet meme. And each episode is directed by a different filmmaker. So they're more just like documentaries is what this is. But I'm interested to see. I mean, they had one I know that kind of was focusing on a small like women who were writing some stories for Marvel, and they even show like Ms. Marvel and kind of bringing that character into the fold there, into the universe and kind of what they made her stand for and all that. I think it looks neat. I think it's going to be a really good documentary series and kind of showing aspects of Marvel that a lot of people don't necessarily know about, or just, you know, kind of shed light on some of those things. And the cool thing is they're giving all these different directors the option to make these documentaries, which I think is great. Like it's so many different people from all different walks of life coming in to have these directorial, I don't want to say debuts, but just opportunities here on Disney Plus, which is cool. I mean, that's one thing I think we could say about Disney Plus is they've really, really been able to kind of spread the love across the industry and find kind of these smaller unknown directors and kind of bring them into these bigger productions, which I think is pretty neat that they're doing that. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for me here today, guys. You know, of course, as always, big thank you to GamerGoo for supporting the show. Don't forget, if you're going to check out there, you can use my code TEL, T-E-L, as in The Enthusiast Life, and save yourself 10% off your order. GamerGoo, of course, is that antiperspirant for your hands. It lasts up to 4 hours for all, you know, that gaming session, whether you're jumping into like Call of Duty Warzone and you're having some issues with those sweaty hands, which by the way has entered season 6. So if you're going to get into Warzone ever, maybe now is the time. Or if you're like me and you're trying to play Fortnite with your kids and you're absolutely terrible, put on your GamerGoo. It's going to help you out. And remember, GamerGoo also has that opportunity now where you can go in there, pick the different scents that you want for a one low monthly fee, and they'll send you four packets every single month. It's good for up to 20 different gaming sessions. And, you know, they have scents from the teak wood to the orange to the peppermint. Awesome scents out there. And again, I always say it before, but like the teak wood is my scent. That's the one that I enjoy. And I recommend it for everybody. But hey, everybody has their own taste. The orange is pretty good too. And I know he's actually marketing now the orange as the sport scent, which I remember talking about this a long time ago, how like I would go in the Spartan races and that this stuff just to cause you to not perspire from your hands if you're lifting weights or doing pull-ups, anything like that. GamerGoo is actually great for that as well. So if you're into even working out and you're lifting a lot of weights, GamerGoo can even help you out there. You know, you always see the people putting on like the chalk on their hands. No, put on your GamerGoo. It'll work because it is that antiperspirant that can last up to 4 hours. So don't forget, use my code TEL, T-E-L as in The Enthusiast Life at checkout. Save yourself 10% off your order. And if you do get it, don't forget to go over on Twitter and let them know it by using the hashtag, yeah, going it. Love to see that over there. It always brings a smile to my face. But don't forget, of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk, at M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, you can email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. So everybody, thank you as always for making me a part of your day. And until tomorrow, we'll catch you next time.